This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prizm, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The voice of March Madness. Well, he's the voice of many things. CBS, TNT, TBS, YES Network, Brooklyn Nets, college basketball, NFL, NBA. I think he had the under with Jontay Porter's numbers with the Toronto Raptors as well. He does it all. He's Ian Eagle, or Ian Eagle, who joins us on the program. Ian, great to talk to you again.
I answer to either, sadly, Dan. Ian Eagle is a fantastic name. I'm cool with it.
Do you get recognized for your voice? How often?
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. Pizza places, ordering a grandma slice. Mm. I might get a head whip around and say, "Are you Marv Albert?" No, no. It's somebody else. Yes!
Was he an idol?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was the model for me because I thought he did such a tremendous job of calling the game. He was serious about the game, but he could razz his analysts. He could have a sarcastic line that would just go into the flow of the play-by-play. And then as a viewer or a listener, you'd question, wait, was he serious or was that a joke? I just loved that style and his versatility. I just enjoyed the fact that you could pop him into any situation and it was still going to be him. So growing up, him, Al Michaels, Costas, Brent, Vern Lundquist, those are the guys that I really admired and took to in the way in which they did their job.
How often do you think about the ending or how you'll call an ending? Like, let's say there's 60 seconds to go. Is there anything? I'll give you, for instance, Marvin works on the show, and Marvin yes. has the call, how he would call the Duquesne win.
Duquesne can do. They pull off the big time upset.
Yeah. Yeah. Can yeah. do. Yeah.
Can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get a pen. I should start writing these down just in case.
Hold on. We got one for Drake as well.
Drake?
Yeah.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here. Drake pulls off the big time upset in March Madness.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even make an adjustment.
Yeah.
So though I would take those word for word. Yes.
And if Kevin Harlan ever sicks out, we have his replacement.
The Bucks are on a 9-3 run, and Pittsburgh, Philadelphia wants to talk about it.
This
you screwed it up.
I didn't know you were coming to me. This is the NBA on TNT.
The pressure to perform in the moment.
Yeah.
Zach Edey is a god.
I think he is, actually. That's accurate.
So how often have you found yourself saying, God, I got to come up with something. Nance does this all the time. Do I come up with something?
I have not thought about it for one second, to be perfectly honest, because I have no idea who's going to be in the Final Four. And it's a legitimate question. I tend to think that I'm going to go pretty simple and be accurate and have enthusiasm. But I don't know. Until I'm in the moment, I truly don't know. If something strikes me, I'm now more willing to go with it than I was early in my career. I remember my third year doing the tournament. It was 2000. We had Seton Hall and Temple in the second round. And Ty Shine was putting on a show. He was filling in for Shaheen Holloway, who got injured in the first round matchup against Oregon. And the whole time in the second half, I'm thinking, oh, man, this is tailor-made. This is one shining moment. Shine.
All right.
And I'm toying with it. I'm going through the mental gymnastics of it. And then we get right down to the wire. And I didn't say it. I thought about, again, I was young. It was my third year doing it. I thought about the reaction. That was cheesy. What's that dude doing? And I got caught up in steps along the way that I should never have been concerned with. And from that moment on, truly, because it bothered me so much in the moment, I decided, hey, look, if you feel something, go with it. Trust your instincts. And odds are, if it's genuine, if it's coming from a real place, then the audience will buy it.
Well, when I was at SportsCenter, you know, we all got caught up in our catchphrases when we're calling highlights. So, like, that was more important than the highlight after a while.
And then, fuego.
And then we kind of had to regroup and go, you know, our job is still to call the action, you know, do the highlights. And then if you want to sprinkle something in. But it became this pandemic where everybody had to have a catchphrase. And you'd have people walking around the building at ESPN.
Yeah.
They'd be Cowhide Joyride. What do you think of that for a home run? I'm going, that's terrible. That's terrible.
It's true. And Craig Kilborn, mutual friend of ours, leaned into that heavily, as we know.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure anybody saw a connection between Jumanji, the Robin Williams film, and sports. Yet, he went with it, and it did have a following of some sort. But you're right. If you get too crazed by the wordplay, and if it's something that you're workshopping all the time, odds are it's not going to deliver in the moment. If something really does strike me in the moment, I tend to go with it, because I feel like if it's something that I find interesting, there's a pretty good chance that somebody else out there watching the games is going to find it interesting, too.
He's the voice of March Madness. By the way, how does that sound now that you take over for Jim Nance? What was your reaction when you heard that Jim was going to stop doing March Madness?
It had been a few years in conversation, so there wasn't one phone call that was the end all. It was a bit of a process, and I think they were working with Jim to figure out his timing and what made the most sense. Houston last year for him, I know on a personal level, really resonated to have this full circle moment and do it in Houston, where he attended college, where his career began. So once it was determined that that would be the last one for him, that's when it started to become a bit more real for me. It's funny, Dan, because I've done so many games. It's not like this is a new role in terms of what my responsibilities are. I've done the tournament for 26 years, and I do probably about 100 basketball games a year between college, NBA, local, national. So I just remind myself, do what you do. You're not going to change what you do, how you approach it, how you prepare, the energy that you bring to the event. Of course, the stage is a bit larger, and it's vast. And I'll be aware of it. I'll be aware of my surroundings. But I would be really surprised if I change the way that that I do the game just because it's the Final Four. If anything, I might end up doing a little bit less because you have really nice pictures and sound, and I think some of the ambient noise is okay. So if I pull back a little bit, that might be more of a conscious decision than to do more than I would normally do.
We're talking to Ian Eagle. He is main play-by-play voice for March Madness. So when you went in to the head of CBS and you said it's either me or him, wait, yeah. Is that how it played out?
Yeah, very Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien. Yeah. Just whatever happened in their situation pretty much happened here. Yeah, these could be wonky situations, as we know, uncomfortable, awkward. This one has not been, and I think a lot of it has to do with how many years I've been there and the fact that I've worked literally with everybody that works on this tournament in some form, being with different crews through the years. This just isn't a out of left field move, but it does mean something in that the trust that CBS, Turner, the NCAA, I don't take that lightly. That's a real thing. When you get that kind of decision, you realize that it's not a snap decision. It was a lot of parties involved to make this happen.
How often do you have the fan behind you who's yelling stuff? And
at me or at the court?
Well, maybe at the court, or it affects you.
I put the headset on and not a whole lot affects me. I am capable of going to another place. If you take the headset off and you listen to the sounds of the people around you, I could see getting swept away in the passion and in some of the untoward attitude that we see. But I just lock in. I put that headset on and I'm just laser focused on what I have to do.
Did you fill out a bracket?
No, have not filled out a bracket since 1998. The first year I did the NCAA tournament, I was still working a lot at WFAN radio and took a lot of pride in the office pool and the bracket. So that first year, I fly out to Sacramento to do the games. I have Maryland, I have Arizona, I have Illinois State, I have Utah State, I have Nicholls State, and I fill out my bracket. And the bottom line, the screen for our net return has the scores scrolling. And I find myself looking at the scores as I'm calling the game and getting angry at the fact that I'm getting these games wrong. And legitimately angry. And I start questioning myself, but dude, you realize you're doing the NCAA tournament and you're worried that you blew it in the East region and that Chris Mad Dog Russo is going to give you guff on Monday. Hey, Ian, terrible pick for you. So that was it. That was the last time I filled out a bracket.
All right. Well, don't screw it up. We're all counting on you. And then you go from this, then you're hosting the Masters as well. Is that?
Yes.
You're doing that too?
Yeah. Butler Cabin. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hey, one point can I make? Jake Gyllenhaal, you mentioned him yesterday, Roadhouse.
Yeah.
You have a lot of IMDb credits.
Yeah.
I was actually in Southpaw as reporter number two.
Okay.
With Jake.
Okay.
With Jake, with Rachel McAdams, with 50 Cent. Antoine Fuqua was the director.
Yeah.
And we come out, we do a rehearsal, we do the lines on the page. Fuqua comes out and says, hey, is that what you would say in a press conference? I said, no. He goes, all right, you just do it your way. And what you see in the film, that's my way.
Now
that's reporter number two way.
That role was originally for Jim Nance. And once again, you have done a number on Jim Nance's career.
The fact that you have that minutia at your fingertips and knew it blows me away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to be listening now.
I know.
Now we're really going to be listening.
Yes. Yes. My hope is when we do this next year, you'll have some calls for me, some calls that are tailored just for me.
Todd, once again, would you give Ian Eagle just a little more of Kevin Harlan?
The Jazz are on a 13-4 run. Philadelphia doesn't know what to do. They'll talk things over. This is the NBA on TNT.
Is Kevin in the studio?
No, Todd. That's Todd. Yeah, he's that good. Oh. Yeah, incredible.
It's freaking me out.
Thank you, Ian.
See you, Dan.
That's Ian Eagle. CBS, TNT, and TBS, and Yes Network. And, oh, my gosh. Guy's busy. All right. Yeah, you screwed up with the Pittsburgh.
I know. There's no Pittsburgh.
There is not.
I cut tongue-tied, and I'm like, Pittsburgh, Seattle? What am I doing?
Maybe ABA, the Pittsburgh.
And then I said, Zach Edey's a god. This is the NBA on TNT.
I have no idea what that is.
That doesn't make sense either, because I think that's a college player.
When we come back, more on the gambling situation with the Toronto Raptors. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. David Purdom, ESPN sports betting industry reporter, and noticed that there was something amiss with the Toronto Raptors, Jonte Porter. And all of a sudden, you know, he's under investigation, and David joins us on the program. Summarize the NBA story that you and Woj broke.
Yeah, Jonte Porter, kind of a backup center for the Toronto Raptors, is being investigated by the NBA after irregularities in the betting market involving his player props. Player props are over under on points scored, rebounds, assists, etc. There were two instances that sportsbooks flagged. Most recently, one just last Thursday against the Kings. Sportsbooks detected some unusual interest on betting on Porter, a low profile guy that doesn't usually attract a lot of betting interest. All of a sudden, a lot of money was coming in on the unders in his game. He played for roughly 5 to 7 minutes, took himself out, was ruled out with flu-like symptoms. So investigation continues.
Okay. How do you guys get tipped off that there's something going on, that, you know, the red flag?
sourcing, just like anything. You know, been work covering this industry for 15 years. I know everybody from bookmakers to the integrity monitors to league officials. So just like any other story, you catch a tip, you get wind from sources that you've developed.
What did the NBA say when you gave them this story?
You know, Brian Windhorst, one of my colleagues, and Woj got in there, and they tried to get with them. It was pretty quiet from the league for quite a while, which was a little bit unusual for those two high-profile reporters. Eventually, they get back to us and just said that they're looking into it.
What's the most you can bet on a prop bet like this?
Great question, because it varies from book to book and from customer to customer. But typically, if you or I are to sign up and try to bet a prop, maybe we get $1,000 down, maybe $2,000. To get much more than that, you're going to have to be a VIP customer with special privileges. And that's what really stood out about this one, because customers came in at one sportsbook trying to bet $10,000 and $20,000 on the unders on Jontay Porter prop bets.
And do we know, like, Jontay Porter's connection to this? Is he betting on himself? Did he tell friends, hey, I'm going to take myself out of the game, load up on this? How do you think this plays out?
Definitely plausible scenarios. We do not have any information to verify any of that at this time.
Yeah, that's the curious part of this is you never think that you're being noticed. And, oh, you know, there's so much money that's gambling, being gambled here. Who's going to notice prop bets on Jontay Porter? And the problem is we are going to notice because it is Jontay Porter.
You know, 100%.
You know, Calvin Ridley probably thought nobody's going to care about this. Everybody's gambling. What's the NBA's rules on gambling?
So players, league personnel are allowed to wager on other sports, just not the NBA. They need to do it with a regulated operator. You can't be using an offshore sports book or an unlicensed regulator, and just can't be anywhere close to betting on any kind of NBA event.
And also the precedent of this, if you suspend him for a year or indefinitely or for a lifetime, if somebody else who is a noted player gets involved, then you have to treat them the same way. So I think it's going to be tricky. The commissioner might be in a tight spot here. Since you cover gambling, if you could ask Shohei Ohtani or his interpreter one question about that situation, what would it be?
That is a good question. Obviously, he's answered about whether he bet on baseball. Said no on that. I'm certainly interested in how he was able to rack up as much many losses as we can. With debt, we understood was $4.5 million in gambling losses. You have to be wagering probably close to $80 million, $100 million during that time to suffer those kind of losses, because you don't lose every bet, right? I mean, it's impossible to lose every bet. It's impossible to win every bet. So you win some, you lose some. To get that down that much, you're betting significantly amount and a lot of volume. So I would just want more details on exactly his betting habits.
I was wondering about this with the illegal bookie. How much latitude does he give him?
Sure.
Like, and don't you at some point want to know, can somebody cover these bets? Or the fact that he is covering these bets with Ohtani's money, then he doesn't care about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you are booking someone and you know that they have a high-profile person behind them, you certainly would probably give them a little more leeway. And I've talked to a couple of offshore sports books, a deal and credit. And that's what they kind of said, you know, hey, this guy was sending us $500,000, $500,000 here. He was losing. He was paying. He was losing. We're going to give him a little bit more rope than we normally would if David Purdom signed up and, you know, only making his little bit amount of money. His credit limit wouldn't be nearly as much.
But do you think this illegal bookie knew that Shohei was taking care of his
yes, friend? I certainly think. Taken care of. He certainly knew his relationship to Ohtani. He certainly knew that he was the interpreter or translator. Whether he knew that the money was coming for Ohtani, you know, the name was on the wire transfers that our ESPN reporters looked at. Whether he thought that it was Ohtani specifically paying for him, I'm not aware of that, but he certainly knew the relationship.
What are the red flags that we should be aware of when it comes to gambling? I tell my audience I used to gamble. I don't gamble anymore, but everybody thinks they can win. Can you win, David?
It's very, very, very difficult, especially in a long term. There's a ceiling, and if you get good enough to win, you start are able to beat the books on a consistent basis. Well, guess what happens then? Now, instead of being able to bet a couple $100, you're limited to only betting $20. So there's a really low ceiling on betting. I would not recommend anybody try to be a professional bettor. If you want to do it for entertainment, you want to bet some disposable income, very small amounts, I think that is fine. Trying to beat the books is just a very, very difficult and challenging lifestyle.
I know you're busy. Thanks for joining us, David.
You got it, Dan. Thanks for having me.
David Purdom.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports entertainment like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who could help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
LA Times sports writer covering the Dodgers, Mike DiGiovanna, joining us on the program. Mike was at the press conference yesterday. How would you summarize what you saw, what you heard yesterday?
Yeah, it was really interesting. Honestly, I was surprised that Shohei said as much as he did. You know, so often in these situations, we get the, oh, there's an ongoing investigation. I can't comment on it. We're going to let the authorities handle it, and then we'll talk afterward. And he came right out on the offensive. You know, he was very assertive, very forceful in his denial of any speculation that he has bet on sports, that he's bet on baseball. And he really turned the tables on his now former interpreter and former confidant and friend, basically accused Ipe of being a liar and a thief. So it was very interesting. The tone of the room was very interesting, a little different than a lot of the Shohei Ohtani press conferences we're used to. But he went on the attack, and it was very clear.
What wasn't answered yesterday?
To me, the two biggest questions, well, the biggest one is kind of obvious. It's like how, if indeed Ipe Matsuhara siphoned off millions of dollars you know, from Shohei's accounts, how did this happen without, you know, his, the people who handle his finances and Shohei himself without knowing that? And to me, the other issue is, you know, how Shohei was so much more than an interpreter. I'm sorry, Ipe was so much more than an interpreter for Shohei. He was around him almost every day of the year, all day, you know. And how does a guy supposedly have such a gambling problem that he's racked up millions of debt in debt without anybody knowing? And, you know, even if Shohei emerges from this scandal unscathed, his reputation in the game intact, I think, you know, he's going to have to take a closer look at the people in his inner circle, the people handling his affairs, because they put a lot of trust in Ipe to do a lot. He was a liaison between, you know, the Dodgers, the Angels all those years, and Shohei, between his agents at CAA and Shohei, between the media and Shohei. And to entrust that much in one guy and to have him betray you like he supposedly did is pretty disturbing.
If you could ask one question, if it's to Shohei or Ipe.
Oh, boy. Well, all the questions I just mentioned, you know, to Ipe, you know, why did you do this? You know, why did you think you're going to get away with this? And, you know, what was he thinking? You know, I mean, this guy was attached. I mean, I hate to use the term, but, you know, kind of a bit of a gravy train, you know, for the next 10 years. This guy's, I'm sure Shohei made a lot more in tips than just, you know, just from being around Shohei, Ipe, I'm sorry, I keep mixing these two up, than he did in salary. And, you know, he's got, you know, a front row seat to one of the most amazing stories in the game. And to think you would just throw that all away is stunning. And to Shohei, you know, how did this happen, you know, under your watch? How did this happen right under your nose? And, you know, you could tell in the press conference he felt very betrayed. And, you know, there was a tone in his voice. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know Shohei that well, but I've been in dozens of interviews with this guy over the last 6.5 years. And I felt like, you know, he's usually very composed, very measured in his comments. And I felt a forcefulness and an assertiveness yesterday in his voice that was maybe like one octave below anger that we don't normally hear from Shohei. And I think that's why he sounded at least to his teammates and Dodgers. And I think if you saw the press conference, he sounded pretty convincing.
I was curious about this. I don't know if anybody brought this up to Shohei, but here's the interpreter who has lied about working for the Red Sox and the Yankees. Like, Shohei has to know that this guy has said that he worked for the Yankees and the Red Sox, but he knows that he didn't work for the Yankees and the Red Sox. Like, there's certain things that I would think would be normal. Like, wait, you didn't work for the Yankees, or why are you saying that? And then you're going to trust him being basically your valet. I mean, I don't know. It just kind of stood out. It was just weird.
Yeah, it goes to the vetting process, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dodgers don't have a great track record, let's face it, you know, with Trevor Bauer over the last few years. And I'm not saying, you know, they did background checks on Ipe. They talked to him after the signing. You know, they met with him. And, you know, from what I've heard, the agent really vouched for Ipe. And but yeah, there's a vetting process that obviously didn't take place here. I mean, some of these things are in the really short bio that's been in the Angels media guide for several years. And it's, you know, it's hard to pin the blame on, you know, the Angels PR department for not, you know, doing background checks on. But yeah, it's very odd. You know, why would you lie about going to UC Riverside? You
know,
I went to Harvard, I went to Yale, I graduated magna cum laude, you know.
But it is a smaller lie, though, Mike.
Yeah. And the bigger issue is, like, when you're lining up stories, when Ipe, you know, changed his original story that he told to ESPN 180 degrees of the next day, and then you layer on top of that these little fibs, his credibility is shot, you know. And I don't know. It's hard to know what to believe out of this guy.
What's next for the LA Times on this story?
We can't tell you that.
Oh, okay. Well, I just thought I would ask.
You know, We're digging as hard as we can. We're trying to fill in some of the gaps on Ipe's resume. Trying to, keep have a bead on the. There's three different investigations now, and the MLB
is Ipe still in the States?
I don't know for sure. We have had reporters at his parents' house. We were told in no uncertain terms to go away. I've asked many of the Japanese reporters, and they have not. He has not been seen in the States. He's going to have to emerge at some point because there are some federal investigators that are probably going to have a lot of questions for him. And he's in a heap of trouble. Let's face it. If these allegations against him are true, he could be looking at jail time. Maybe not. A lot of these situations they're going after the bookies, not so much the bettors. But the other aspect.
But he's got to pay Ohtani back, doesn't he?
Yeah, stealing money from Ohtani.
Yeah, restitution. Yeah.
If that allegation is true, that's a problem for him.
Mike, good to talk to you. Great stuff by the LA Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
All right. Mike DiGiovanna.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Man, doesn't seem that long ago that we had a chance to talk, so help me understand the new kickoff rule and did it pass with flying colors?
Yeah, so 29 yeses, 3 noes. The noes were San Francisco, Green Bay, and Vegas were the 3 noes. And I think this is sort of the outgrowth of a couple of things, Dan. The first is, obviously the touchback rule last year, for the most part, eliminated the kickoff. And it flipped where it had in the past been 80% return, 20% touchback. It had gone to 80%, about 80% touchback last year. And so they wanted to find a way, the special teams coaches did, to help put it back in the game. And so over the last 2 years, they've worked on it and crafted the idea of creating something that would put more returns in the game and maybe bringing to life the next Devin Hester, the next Dante Hall. And so it's a modification of the XFL rule. The idea overarching is to take speed and space out of the play to slow down the collisions. And They think this addresses the injury issue that the touchback rule addressed last year and will add returns back into football. I mean, the idea is, and their belief is, this is going to add about 500 plays, 500 competitive plays to the game next year, which I think is a win for everybody, even if it is going to look a little weird and different.
Okay, are there still going to be touchbacks?
So it's interesting the way the rule sets up. So if you have what's called the landing zone from the goal line to the 20. If you kick it into the landing zone and it bounces and it's not fielded and it goes into the end zone, it's a touchback that goes to the 20. If the kicker kicks it into the end zone, the ball comes all the way out to the 35.
Okay.
If you land short of the landing zone, then and it bounces before it hit it bounces before it gets to the 20, then the ball comes all the way out to the 40. So essentially, you're penalizing the kicker for not putting it in that landing zone inside the 20 but short of the goal line, and you're penalizing the return team if the ball lands in the landing zone and then bounces into the end zone.
Yeah,
I think I covered all of that. It's going to take some getting used to, for sure.
This is like a TED Talks, you know? You need a PowerPoint. You need charts up there. All right, the infamous hip drop tackle. How did we get to this point that we now have to get rid of it in the sport?
It's an outgrowth of Seahawk tackling, which is, it's called Seahawk tackling because Pete Carroll kind of gave rise to the idea of this like wrap and roll technique. And you know, really that's being employed at all levels of football now, where you see kids doing it, you see high schoolers doing it, you see college kids doing it, and obviously the pros. And it really has helped to take the head out of tackling. And it's helped with concussion rates. The downside of it is the hip drop, which is when you swing around, and I can give you a little bit of a visual aid here, but you swing around, right? You swing around and you wrap your
Why don't you tackle somebody in the room? Just grab an owner or somebody.
There are actually a couple of guys over here I would like to tackle. But
not Jay Glazer. Don't tackle Glazer.
No, I'm not challenging Glazer to one of those. But like, so basically like what happens with Seahawk tackling is you wrap and you roll. And so if people listening can envision it, it's you're wrapping your arms around the guy and then you're using your weight to pull the guy down. And what's happened is it's almost like a horse collar where a guy's feet get caught and pulled down. And so, you know, it's unfortunate because again, it's an unintended consequence of a change to football that really has made a positive difference. And I think my concern would be, okay, so they're going to have to work around this. Defense players are going to have to work around this. So there's probably going to be another unintended consequence somewhere, right? Like, it's a violent game, so is the dog chasing its tail here? But I do understand why they did it, because it was the injury rate with the play was so much higher than other plays. And it's going to take some adjusting for defensive players for sure. And it sounds like, at first at least, they're probably going to have to officiate it through fines rather than flags, but they're going to give guys some runway to get used to it. They're going to dish out some fines. And then I think by the time we get to the middle of the year next year, they'll probably be flagging it more often if they still see it.
Would Mike Jones have been flagged in the Super Bowl with the tackle on Kevin Dyson?
That's a good question. I have to go back and look at that one. The goal line play, right?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah, at the end of the, yeah.
In 2000.
Yeah.
Rams Titans. Yeah. Maybe I have to go back and look at it.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, there are all these different elements to it, which I have no idea how the refs are going to officiate.
Yeah, exactly.
At full speed, because I can't even like go through my head and like think of all the steps here as I sit. So, yeah, I think there's definitely gonna be some complications. That's an interesting one though. I'll definitely go back and look at that.
Are you looking at the video?
Yeah, it would be classic. He wraps Dyson around the waist, Mike Jones, and spins him and pulls him to the ground with his body.
Okay. So does he swivel around though? That's like there's
possible swiveling.
Swivel, because that's the thing, is like if you swivel and then like it's like basically taking your feet off the ground, right? Like if you swivel and kind of like try to like get the guy to carry you, like that's when it's illegal. So if that's what he did, then yes, it'd be illegal.
Yeah, half the distance to the goal.
And it'd be first, yep. It would be, and then the Kurt Warner story might be a little different.
And untimed down.
Would be a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah,
untimed down at the one. Untimed down with Eddie George in the backfield.
Roughing the passer, when will we have replay? Like, what brings about replay on roughing the passer?
It has to be very clear, and it has to be cut and dry situations. And so I think what's going to govern this, and I've always been a proponent of like the idea of a sky judge, right? Which I think that they should empower an official and put him upstairs and have him use the benefit of all of the crystal clear HD angles that we all have the benefit of at home. I think it's patently insane that all of us have that benefit, but the people who are in charge of the game on the field don't. So I think this is another step in that direction. And what'll govern it, Dan, is that they won't allow you to change the call after, I think it's the 20-second cutoff on the play clock, right? So once the play clock gets to 20 seconds, then you can't change it. So it almost by definition has to be obvious, right? You have to go in and see it like right away, or you won't be able to go in and change the call on the field. So I think it's an effective way of taking a play out, taking bad calls out that I think have frustrated every one of us. And hopefully it's, you know, another step towards a really efficient sky judge system, which they don't want to call it the sky judge. They want to call it replay assist. But, I think a step in a direction that a lot of coaches and people in the league have wanted them to go in for a long time.
He's the Monday morning quarterback, Albert Breer, joining us from the NFL owners meetings. You guys all get together. The owners are there. Media's there. And everybody is chopping things up, talking about things, rumors, speculation. And we have spoken about this. Top of the draft. Why do you think there's a real good chance the first four picks will be quarterbacks?
Because I think there's a good chance the first three sit there and take quarterbacks, and then there's a handful of teams that I think are going to look at trading up, and the Cardinals, I think, will take a serious look at trading down. I am 99% that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. I think something would have to happen for them not to take Caleb at this point. At number two, I think the likelihood is still Jaden Daniels from LSU. Now, I think at three, there's a little bit more of a possibility than at two of a trade. I think New England's looking at this and saying, all right, like if the right quarterback falls to us, we take him. If the one we like goes two and then we don't like the guy at three quite as much, would they look at trading down? I think they would consider that. I think it's probably more likely they take a quarterback, but I don't think the idea of trading down is out of the picture for them at all. And if it goes 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks, like let's say that's 60-40, 70-30 right now, that the three teams at the top stick and take quarterbacks, well, then you've got teams that have investigated trading up, and the Giants, the Raiders, the Vikings, and I think the Broncos are lurking as a dark horse, like four teams that could be in the market to move up, and the Cardinals sitting there at four with a real chance to turn that pick into a lot more picks. And so I think for the first time ever, we could wind up having four quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, which would also mean that J.J. McCarthy has moved into that top tier quarterbacks where I think for the last couple of months, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels have been.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. I know you're busy.
You got it. Thanks, Dan.
Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.